We're going to read once again the 127th division of the Psalms. And my thought last week was a different part of that psalm. It was. And when I got here, I couldn't preach on that. And I'll be honest with you, I still can't. I'm still hung up on the first part of it. Maybe someday we'll get to the other, but I'm still hung up in that first verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early and set up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so is giveth the beloved sleep. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is their reward. As sorrows are in the hand of the mighty, or as arrows, I'm sorry, in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of thy youth. Happy is a man that hath a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And like I said, our thought is still, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. And I said last week, and I'm going to say it again, I don't want nobody to misunderstand me in this. I've preached it different times, and I've heard some of y'all preach it, and I'll agree with you. And I agree the way I preached it, and building the house of the Lord. And unless the Lord's in it, it's in vain. When they built the house, when Solomon first built the house, you didn't hear a hammer beat there, because the Lord put that together. He put those cedars together. I want you to realize, I believe he still does that today, but I also believe unless he builds our homes with our family in it. And Brother Marty mentioned to me something Monday about this, and I hadn't looked up the definition of a house, but I did. And one of the definitions of it is family. And we're going to try to go a little further with that this week. But I believe in all my heart, if the Lord builds the family, if he builds your home and you set it up with him and you get established with him, your house can stand. But I want you to realize that the Lord ain't in it. I ain't saying your marriage can't make it. I ain't saying that. But I want to tell you, it'll always be a battle. It'll be more difficult to get through it. But when the Lord builds your house, it will still be trouble come along the way. But when it does, you have him there in the center of it to help you through it. So I want us just to look at a place or two in the Old Testament, then we'll try to look at some things in the New Testament also. But over here, I want us to Joshua first off, where he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers saved that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And he wasn't talking about the building that he lived in. He was talking about his family. He said, as for me and my family, we shall serve the Lord. And when he talked about his house, that's what he was talking about there. There are many times in the Bible, I've looked a whole lot this week since last Sunday. Many times, I believe it is, just talking about the house of the Lord and the family of God. And some of these scriptures probably all can be applied to that. Sometimes it's just talking about a building. But sometimes it's talking about the family. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with us using the scriptures that way. Because I believe it in all my heart. If God don't build it, I want you to know it'll be in vain. You will always labor, and you'll go through things and trials and troubles, and you will not have the help that you have if God is in it. I'm going to give you one more in the Old Testament, and then we're going to try to move on and our thought and go a little further. Y'all pray for us over here in Genesis to do with Noah. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have sinned the right. I have seen righteousness before me in this generation. And he told him Noah here. He said, come thou and thy house. He wasn't talking about the building he lived in. He was once again talking about Noah's family, his sons and his daughter-in-law and his wife. He said, thou come thou and thy house into the ark. I want us to get established here. As many times as talking about your family, and I want you to realize today, God needs to be in the center of your house. He needs to be in the center of your family. I want you to realize today, it took me years to understand that. Yes, I prayed for my wife. I did. I can tell you today, and I can tell you honestly, I never ever had a girlfriend till I met her. I went up there one night. I didn't just meet her there at the water fountain. I want everybody to understand that, but that's where God gave her to me. Just like I believe Jacob found Rachel there at the well, at the water fountain, I believe I found mine there at the well, at the water fountain. But listen, I'd prayed. I was 16 years old. I never had a girlfriend. I want you to know I didn't do well in school. I wasn't popular. I wasn't one somebody, everybody wanted to hang around with me. There's a good reason. But listen to me, as a 14-year-old boy, I got saved by God's grace, and I begin to pray. You can say it's silly if you want to, but I know he done it. But anyway, I walked around with her one night up at the Fall Festival. I'll never tell this part. She and her boyfriend had broke up with her. It was one of my buddies. And he broke up with her. And she was all sad and brokenhearted. So I was going around with her and listening to her be pity about it and to talk about her boyfriend she lost. And I ain't throwing you under the bus. I'm just telling the way it is. But I was really interested. I'll be honest. But we come to one of some of my family, and he looked at her and he said, what are you doing with him? Oh, it just cut like a knife. And I walked away. But I guess it was about a year later. I'd prayed. I said, God, please give me somebody. And I walked around the corner up there. I could take it. I got a picture of her standing here while back at that water fountain. I walked around the corner there. She stood and God said, go get her. And I did. I was barely 16 years old, November the 27th, 1989. I walked over there and I asked her, I said, would you ride home? Could I give you a ride home? That's how I put it. She said, I'll have to ask my sister. She went and asked her and come back and said, she said, it's okay. And y'all heard it. Then I remembered I didn't drive. So I rode with somebody. Finally, somebody said yes. And then I didn't even have a way to take her home. So there I stood. I called her the next night. I said, can I come up here? And she said, yeah. So she was with her sister, and I went up there, and we went to the neighbors and to the house, the one that told us. Asked her why she was with me. And we play cards. And we've been together ever since. I'm going to tell you, there's been trials and there's been troubles. But if God puts you together, if he truly is in the center of it, you can make it through anything.
But if God don't build the house, you'll labor in vain. And I want you to tell you, I ain't saying you won't make it, but it'll be a battle. And I want you to know I'm so thankful she was a member of Rocky Mountain Church, saved when she's 12-year-old. I was a member of Rocky Mountain Church, saved when I was 14-year-old. We never really had nothing to do with each other up to that point. But God brought us together. And I want you to know I've done everything in my power to destroy that through the years. I never realized what he had gave me till I was older. And I realize it more every day now. I'm so thankful for what God's done for me, for my family, for my house. My children, they've both been saved by God's grace. And I pray someday we'll see the others. But y'all pray for us. Over here in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to try to get to some of this in a minute. And the 14 says, but be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I wanted to stop right there. I want to talk to you children a little while. Parents, please permit me to be nice. I'm going to try to do my best. I know a lot of you are married outside the faith. I'm not here to try to rebuke nobody. That ain't my job. My job is to love your children and try to help them. But it says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Over in the 22nd chapter of Deuteronomy, in the 10th verse, it says, thou shalt not plow an ox with an ass. In other words, don't yoke them together. They're not to work together. I want you to know, honey, you don't need to be yoked with unbelievers. Listen to me a while, children. It'll be so much easier in your marriage if you marry within your faith. You will be a battle the whole time. Let the Lord build your house. Pray for somebody. Don't get ahead of God. Listen to me. Keep yourself. Don't go out and do things that's going to hurt you later on. You wait and you hold out till you get married. And let God give you the one you should have. And I want you to know that'll be one thing you will never have to discuss among one another. You pray for somebody. I heard Caretha say this, and it meant the world to me. She didn't only pray for a husband, but she prayed for a husband that believed just like her, the same faith. I want you to know that it'll make your marriage so much easier if you don't have to get up on Sunday morning and discuss where you're going to go serve God at. And I want you to know, every couple I marry, there's some here that I've married. My prayer for them has been, each one of them, and I say it in every wedding, I might not have said it Marty and Clarissa's. I'm not sure if they was going to be having any youngins anytime soon. I ain't saying he can't. I ain't going to be like Abraham and Sarah and laugh. We all cue Sarah, but Abraham laughed too. You go read it, he laughed too. It wasn't just Sarah that laughed. So I ain't going to say God can't do it. If he wants to give y'all one, he can. But it'll be better when you're young, according to what we just read a while ago. But I tell every one of them, when I marry them, I pray that they'll have babies. God will give them children. Little bitty gifts. And then when they're old and they sit on the front porch, they can watch their grandbabies play out in the front yard. That's what I want for you. I want you, when you get married, to stay together. I want you to be able to raise children. I want you to be able to raise grandchildren. And the best way and the only way to do it truly the way God set it up is Him build the house. Let Him, you pray for your babies just like Hannah prayed for hers. And I want you to know when you pray for them, God will give you one. And then you give them to God just like Hannah did hers. And you let the Lord take and use them and build your house, build your family. And I want you to know if God is in the center of your home, you will have a blessed home. And the best way to start is that is pray. Yeah. Everybody goes to beer joints, dance clubs, and everything else. And you can get bad at me if you want to. I'm just going to tell you, that ain't the place to find you a husband and wife. You can say what you want. You can talk to me afterwards if you want to. That ain't the place to go look for a husband and a wife. You won't find you a good husband. You go to church. You won't find a good wife, you go to church. You want to find you one, you pray for one. And I want you to know you won't have to look for her. You'll come around the corner one day and there she'll be. He just come up on that well there that was, and here come Rachel. I want you to know, and I believe he fell in love with her as soon as his eyes laid on that woman. Leah tried her best to win him over, and she never could. She done everything in her power. She prayed to God. She done, but the Bible said what? Jacob loved Rachel. Amen. That's who he loved, and he couldn't help it. I mean, no matter, even if he tried, I want you to know, God, he gave it. Rachel, and I believe that. Now, don't you know Jacob done everything he could, and I've done it. You probably have too, if you'll be honest. I know I have, but I know that's my Rachel. I know it is. And I know we've had our troubles and our trials, but I'll tell you this, he's never left us nor forsaken us, because I finally got to the place where I was willing to let him have my house. Just take it, Lord. Take my family. Take my wife. Take my children. You do with us what you'd have done. And when you get to that point, he will build your house. So get you the one that God would have. And then that, you ain't got to settle. I hear people say all the time, well, don't settle. You ain't settling. She didn't settle for me. I ain't got no education, and I ain't good looking. I ain't none of those things that a girl's looking for. But I'll tell you something. I believe she saw her Jacob too. That's the difference. That's not settling. When God gives you somebody, it's not settling. So once you're married, once you start having those children, there's going to come trials and troubles in that. You're going to face things. What's the Bible saying? We use it all the time. But I want you to listen to me when I say it today. A house divided against itself cannot stand. What did we say house a lot of times stands for? A family. A family divided against itself cannot stand. I want you to realize when you get to a point that you don't have that kind of relationship, that God's in the center of it, your marriage is apt to fall. And great to be the fall of it. The Bible said, if the goodman of the house, if the head of the house, that's the goodman of the house, That's you, Barry Bronner. That's you, Tracy. That's you, Johnny. That's me. Amen. If the goodman of the house knew what hour the thief would come, what would not happen? His house would not been destroyed. His family would not. His house. You better be alert. You want your house, your family to make it? Put God in the center of it. And Marty brought one to me, boy. And I know my wheels was done turning, but he brought one to me. And that's what I'm going to try to finish with here in a minute. Y'all pray for me. Listen to me. Listen to me, young folks. Right now, you think you got the world by the tail. You better watch out. We all think if we got girls, we want them to keep themselves pure, don't we? But boys, it just almost seems like it's okay. I want you to know it's not okay. Amen. Listen to me, boys. You need to keep yourselves. Amen. The best thing you could ever have is when you marry your wife that you never ever had another girlfriend besides your wife. Amen. You'd say, well, boy, that's a silly thing to wish on them. I don't think it's silly. Get to one God would have you. Keep yourselves the best you can. Once you get married and you're having children, I've said it before. I failed so many times in so many ways. I wasn't in church like I was supposed to be. Y'all can all preach to me afterwards. I know these things. You ain't got to tell me. Just because I've been guilty of them don't mean they're right. And it don't mean I can't preach of it. I preach the word of God whether I'm guilty of it or not. Some of the happiest moments I ever had was when we walked up on them steps at Rocky Mount Church. And I had Jenny in my arms, and she had Maggie in her arms. And we went in there, and we sat in our little spot together. That was when I knew I was getting things right. Amen. Yeah. There were so many times that I didn't get things right. But when I done that, when I put God first, then we found peace in our home. It takes both. I'm so thankful for these good old sisters at work and labor and bring their babies to church. But listen, man, if you're here today and you hardly ever come, shame on you. You need to get up on Sunday morning, not go fishing, and come with your wife and be the head of your, be the goodman of the house. Don't suffer your house to be broken up or destroyed. It wasn't talking about the building. It was talking about your family. Amen. Get up out of bed and come with your wife. Bring your babies. Amen. Serve God. Amen. You're going to make mistakes. You're still going to have trials. But in that, if you will hang on to the Lord, He'll help you. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the house upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine doeth and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man. which built his house upon the sand, and the rain and descended, and the floods came, and winds blew and beat upon it, that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I know we normally use this to do us being saved, and I want you to know how you can't build a house, a family upon the rock unless you got salvation. And I also believe for that to work and work like God set it up, both of you need to be saved. I believe you both need to be a member of the Lord's church and be established on that rock. I believe that when the rains and the winds come, you'll be founded on a solid foundation. A house that Jesus built will not fall. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. I believe it in all my heart because I've lived it. I've seen the rains and the storms come. I've seen it blow hard. I've seen the tree wave on, go back and forth. But when we hung on to the Lord, she didn't fall. You want your marriage to make it? You want your children's marriage to make it? Start bringing them up in church. Be at church every Sunday instead of out enjoying the world. Let him be the rock that your family's built on. Your house is built on. Lest the Lord build the house, you'll labor in vain. Maybe I'm done with this. Maybe not. Amen. I love, we got more young couples than any place I know. Amen. We've got more children than any place I know. You can go anywhere and you won't find no more kids you got here. Amen. And there's some lot bigger buildings out there. We're blessed. We love these young couples, we'll tell them. If we love these children, we'll tell them. As for me and my house, you say, well, Jeff, if your children ain't here, I pray they will get here. Amen. They no longer under my roof. They're still my family. They asked me yesterday, what could we get you for? Get back in church. Raise my grandbabies where they can hear the gospel. Put it out there, Josh. Don't you hold this in back. I hope they get to hear it. I love them. And I love my grandbabies. I love my son-in-laws. I want them to have the best, and for them to have the best, God needs to be in the center of it. Amen. So, listen, children, pray for one. Pray that not God only send you a good-looking one. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I got a pretty one. Didn't deserve it, but I got one. Amen, he said, and I agree with him. But pray for one that's saved. Amen. Pray for one that's a member of the Lord's church. Amen. Pray for one that you'll work together. You'll have a quiver full of arrows. That Carrie Bug has got two more arrows in her quiver back there right now. I've got one that's got a quiver. Arrow in her quiver right now. Pray those quivers that's full of arrows, those children will be brought up in a way that they'll be saved. Amen.
So once again, I'm not saying you can't. The way we'll use these scriptures 90% of the time will have something to do with being saved. It'll have to do with building the Lord's house. I believe that in all my heart, but I don't think there's a thing wrong with the last two Sundays us using them like that.
Amen.
I don't think I've took nothing out of context. If he don't build your house, it's in vain. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. That's my thought. Brother, if you got a song, if you want to have a handshake, I wasn't going to. We done shook hands mostly around. If you're comfortable with it, you can. If you're not comfortable with it, you ain't got to. And I'll tell you this, if you, after me preaching that, you don't want to shake my hand, you ain't got to. But I'll love you anyway.
Amen.
If you disagree with me, I'll still love you.
Amen.
You're looking at a man full of arrows. I'm talking about arrows, not arrows. I got a lot of mistakes I'm ashamed of. But I got a few things right. And the ones I got right, he gave to me. That's it.
Amen.
The rest of it, I failed him. What he done is what's right. Go ahead, brother.